Ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages, gather round the radio. It's time for another installment of A Touch of Grey, the talk show for grown-ups. My name is Michael Harrison. It's my privilege to serve as anchor of the program. It's an ensemble show, and the host and star of the program, its founder and guiding light, is Carol Marx. Carol Marx is one of America's leading experts on upper demographic issues, and she's indeed a champion in the battle against ageism. And today, Carol will be talking with Bruce Frankel. He's the communications chairman-elect of the Life Planning Network and the author of a new book titled Live Smart After 50, The Expert's Guide to Life Planning for Uncertain Times. But first, here's Carol in our kickoff conversation talking with Jerry Jewell. She's best known as Cousin Jerry on the NBC sitcom The Facts of Life. She was the first person with a disability to have a regular role in a primetime series. She's going to talk to Carol about her new memoir titled, I'm Walking as Straight as I Can, Transcending Disability in Hollywood and Beyond, published by ECW Press.
And let's start out, Jerry, by talking about your cerebral palsy. You were born with it and other disabilities. Do you think your traumatic birth resulted in your really developing this disease, and what had happened to your mother when she was pregnant?
Well, yes, there was an accident, a car accident, where a student driver had lost control of the car and it rammed up my parents' front lawn and knocked over a tree while my mom was pregnant with me and sitting on the porch. So that started the trauma. And that could have caused the cerebral palsy or the fact that I was taken out of the isolette too soon and turned blue, or that a nurse had given me pneumonia, whatever.
It happened. That's the main point.
They could never determine what it was that caused the injury to the brain, because it could have been all of those things or one of those things.
Now, when it comes to cerebral palsy, why do you say it's been the greatest blessing in your life and that everything happens for a reason?
Yes, I believe that. I believe that it was something that I chose spiritually on the other side to come into the world with, to teach me lessons in this life that I wouldn't have learned otherwise. And it has truly been a blessing because it's taught me patience. It's taught me to be more sensitive to all people with differences and diversity. It's taught me so many valuable things, and to value a sense of humor when things are rough, I wouldn't trade it for anything under the sun.
And you know, Jerry, I believe in what you're saying so wholeheartedly, because what you say puts a different perspective on the things that happen to us, and if you can look at things in a different and more positive way, it is so, so helpful. Now, when you were in your early teens, you decided you wanted to be a comedian, an actress, and a writer. How in the world, at the beginning of your career, in October 1978, did you find the courage to be a stand-up comic? And was it therapeutic? Because, boy, I could never do that. I admire you.
Truthfully, I had gone to school with a young man named Alex Valdez, who I was going to college with, and I was very frustrated in my third year of college. And I told him that I really didn't want to finish school anyway. I wanted to be in show business. I wanted to be an actress, a comedic actress. And he said, well, why don't you do what I do? I said, well, what do you do? He said, I go to the comedy store and we can tell blind jokes. I said, well, Alex, that may work for you, but I can see perfectly fine. And Alex got me into this. I never dreamt of being a stand-up comic, per se. My idol as a kid was Carol Burnett. And I loved comedic acting, but a stand-up? No, but it was a door open to me, and I had the support of Alex and John, who was Alex's attendant also, who drove him everywhere. And back then, you know, I don't think it took courage as much as it was a ride. It was so new, it was so exciting, and it was so different than anything that I had ever known. And if you succeed, succeed more than you bomb on stage.
Good point. Yes. How was it therapeutic? How did it help you being on stage like that?
Well, you know what? Interestingly enough, it was wonderful in improving my speech because in order to be a good stand-up comic, you have to be understood, too. Otherwise, they won't get the joke. So it was speech therapy every time I perform. You know, articulate the jokes so that they get it. It also gave me a tremendous sense of self-confidence when I succeeded, and I got an enormous amount of success very quickly from doing stand-up.
Now, besides the issues of being an entertainer in Hollywood with cerebral palsy, you've written in your memoir about your struggle with your sexuality. When did you first realize you were gay?
I kind of had a clue when I was younger, when I was probably in high school was when I really became aware of it, but I couldn't identify it because I was raised Catholic and I didn't understand what being gay was, and I interpreted it as, God, I'm attracted to women. That means I must be a guy. I mean, I'm a tomboy. I couldn't wrap my brain around it because I didn't have the maturity or the life experiences to support what it was I was feeling until college, when I finally became fully aware that I was definitely attracted to women.
Why did you feel it was so important to write about your sexuality in this book? And are you pleased that there is a growing acceptance of people having different types of sexual genders?
I wrote about my sexuality in my book, I'm Walking as Straight as I Can, because, you know, it's interesting. People have asked me, why did you choose to write about that? Well, it's my autobiography, and it is a part of who I am. And I answer this question, let's say I wrote an autobiography that had no mention of cerebral palsy in it. I mean, what kind of autobiography is that about you if you choose to not write a total part of who you are?
Great point.
It was about acceptance of myself and having the courage to move forward publicly and letting them know who I am and to embrace that. I am fully supportive of all sexualities, and I think that we are moving forward and we need to support gay rights,
definitely.
LGBT issues and marriage.
Now, I want, Jerry, to get back to your entertainment career. You first became famous on the TV show The Facts of Life when you became the first person with a visible disability to appear in a resuming role as Cousin Jerry on primetime TV. What was it like to work with an all-female cast?
Well, it's funny you should say that because I didn't look at it as an all-female cast. I just looked at it as my friends and stars of the show. I didn't see it as male or female. It was an amazing, surreal experience to have happened to me. But in the background, there was chaos and there was immaturity and there were people in my life that were not out for my good intentions. So I think a lot of my choices at that time backfired because I was emotionally so overwhelmed and didn't know where to turn for support. I mean, everything was all new. I went from being isolated and alienated as a kid in special ed to all of a sudden everybody under the sun wanted to be my friend. There was no middle ground. There was never really any normalcy in my life, whatever that is. So I had nothing to compare it to.
You were just so shielded from life's realities with things like special ed. I just think that it's amazing that you were able to do so well. Just amazing. I want to get to something that you said because I think it's so important. That the most important line you ever said was on The Facts of Life. So let's tell our listeners what it was.
Well, I would have to say that line was in the first episode, and it was, questions don't hurt, ignorance does. That
Boy.
Was the most profound written line in a script that I had ever said, even to this day. And it was not my line. It was written by the writers. And when I said it in front of a live studio audience, there was applause. And it was a powerful line because it was based on truth.
And that truth is just as true today. And
yes.
that's what I
Absolutely.
Love about it. Now, let's talk about the HBO's Western series, Deadwood, and how you got the role. Were you at a difficult time in your life? You experienced tax battles, a failed marriage, drug addiction. You've been injured in a car accident. You were operated on for spinal injuries that you felt that you might never work again. And then, one day, you were standing in line in a pharmacy in 2001, and the most unbelievable thing happened.
Well, you know, like you said, I was recovering from so much, from a marriage that wasn't working, from tax problems, financial issues, addiction to painkillers, and so much, and spinal cord surgery from C1 to C7. I did not think that I really had a career left. And I was standing in line in a pharmacy waiting for Botox because that's what I get injected in my neck every 3 months for chronic pain is Botox. And this man turned around. He said, "Oh, my God, are you Jerry Jewell?" And I said, "Yes." And he said, "Well, I'm a huge fan of yours." And I said, "Well, thank you. You've inspired me. You've made me laugh." And I was thinking in my mind, yes, I did that at one point. I'm so glad I was able to do that. And he said, "But I haven't seen you on TV in years." And I said, "True." And he said, "Do you want a television series?" And he was the executive producer of NYPD Blue and Deadwood on HBO, and he offered me Deadwood in the pharmacy. Wrote his phone number on a prescription pad for an antidepressant and told me to call him. And I believe that the moral of that story, running into David Milch in 2001, was that I believe that we all have a spiritual pilot light. And when that pilot light goes out, we disconnect. And I believe that I never, no matter how low I've gotten in my life, I've never let that pilot light go out. I still had a sense of spiritual being and what I could do to make a difference in the world. And David responded to that light. And that's why that happened, because David Milch put me back on the map. I will forever be grateful and in debt to him for what he did to me on that day, which gave me an opportunity to continue in my career when I thought it was over.
That's Jerry Jewell in conversation with Carol Marks. I'm Walking as Straight as I Can, Transcending Disability in Hollywood and Beyond, ECW Press. You're plugged into A Touch of Gray.
Did you know there are other signs of rosacea besides facial redness, pimples, and visible blood vessels? Other symptoms may include burning, stinging, or swelling of the face, and even enlargement of the nose. Rosacea can also affect the eyes, causing a bloodshot appearance and irritation that could lead to vision loss. If you have any sign of rosacea, see a dermatologist or visit the National Rosacea Society at rosacea.org.
Continuing now with A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups. I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor seat, and here again is Carol Marks in conversation now with Bruce Frankel. He's the communications chairman-elect of the Life Planning Network and the author of a new book titled Live Smart After 50, The Expert's Guide to Life Planning for Uncertain Times, published by Life Planning Network Incorporated.
Can you start out by telling our listeners a little bit about the Life Planning Network, what type of professionals and organizations belong to it, and what's your network's mission?
Sure. The Life Planning Network is a community of professionals dedicated to helping people navigate the second half of life. They represent, or we represent, planning disciplines ranging from career counselors and financial advisors to life coaches, health professionals, estate lawyers, and authors who write about issues of boomers and aging. What brings us together is a strong belief that people benefit when they carefully and intentionally plan the encore stage of life.
And so you use 33 experts to help the readers of your book prepare for the second half of life, which represents a new and distinct life stage. And it does require careful planning and preparation. So is it fair to call your book a roadmap for life?
Well, let me rephrase that a little. Live Smart
Sure.
After 50 was written as a terrific collaboration of 33 experts. And as I said, they represent a range of fields from psychology, financial planners, fitness professionals. They donated their time to work together and hone a discussion of these important issues and resources and to give the reader the essence of those issues to help readers flourish in the second half of life. You know, one of the reasons this book was written is that not only has the average lifespan nearly doubled in little over a century to almost 78 years now, the number of years beyond retirement has quintupled in two generations. Instead of just living, you know, a few years past retirement age or even 15, what happens when you're looking at 30 or more years? And so, you know, people in their 50s, 60s, 70s, still feel vital and want to be actively engaged in work in their communities, and they have good reason to expect that they may live for another 30 or 40 years to the cusp of 100 and beyond. So we're talking about a stage of life that is the same length of time as from our early 20s to our mid-50s or 60s, and that's quite a swath of time. So, you know, we know that life has changed, and this new stage of life has to be viewed as a fluid state in which people will choose to live in ways less predicted by chronological age than by their health or financial security, well-being, their desire to work, or their desire to be engaged productively, you know, pursuing work paid or unpaid, or in creative or leisure activities.
Now, one of the things I liked so much about your book was that it has exercises and checklists and tools, and you have a checklist for 8 aspects of life planning, such as home and money, and the questions you should ask yourself. So what should you ask yourself when it comes to your home and money as we're living this longer lifespan?
Well, it's a good question. Thank you, Carol. The most important step in creating your own roadmap and dealing with the uncertainty of life is assessing your life and goals in an honest and accurate way, assessing your desires and needs and the realities of your life in a way that few of us really relish doing. And it so happens that doing that kind of introspective work only gains power when we take the time to write things down and wrestle them to the ground. So we've got these exercises and checklists to help readers interpret key events of their lives, to predict how they might respond or act in the future, questions and surveys to help readers understand their strengths and values and that sort of thing. And the checklist for life planning that you spoke of, we identified 8 aspects of life that are of greatest concern. They include work, love, home, health, legacy, leisure, legal, and money. So under the aspect of home, you'll be asked, for instance, about issues of place and belonging and safety. Where will you live? Who will you live with? Is your home going to be right for you in 5 years, in 15 years, in 25? And what will you have to do to make it that way? Or under money, you'll be asked, what do you have to earn? What do you have to save? What can you spend? The life planning process really has predictable steps, and they include assessing who you are now. And I can't underscore that enough. That's important because we're no longer who we were. And discovering our real possibilities and opportunities and clarifying what we want to achieve and making an actual plan that includes knowing what we need and who can help us get there. And finally, knowing how to adjust our plan as we age so that we stay aligned with what our realities and goals and values are.
Well said. Now, I know that supportive relationships are key to being healthy and happier as we get older. So what's different about the second half of life's relationships? What are the different groups of relationships we might have? And do you think it's important to figure out who we want to be in our life as we get older?
Absolutely. First of all, it's true that by the time each of us reach midlife, we've had a lot of experience facing change that have occurred throughout our lives. No one gets this far without having to deal with things, and some we deal with successfully, some less well. So the reason it's important to take time and make sense of all that and our relationships is that when we do that, we can really open the door to new possibilities, and we can identify and reduce legal and financial risks and ease our anxiety and elevate our confidence, and rather than waiting for crises to occur. And part of what, you know, we do in this lifeline exercise is which is simple and foundational, is we help people to identify, you know, how they want to live their lives. And in terms of relationships, which are so critical, you know, as we age, there comes a time when there's an undeniable and fundamental, almost universal shift from materialism and success to meaning and purpose that we want. And the quality of our relationships become more important to us. So we need to evaluate those relationships to understand where they fit in, whether it's friends or colleagues or caregivers or significant others or immediate families, and we have to figure out whether they're healthy and supportive relationships.
Bruce Frankel, in conversation with Carol Marks. His book is titled Live Smart After 50, The Expert's Guide to Life Planning for Uncertain Times. It's published by Life Planning Network, and if you want more information, go to lifeplanningnetwork.org. I'm Michael Harrison. A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, continues right here in just a moment.
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
They're not movie tough guys, just ordinary people doing something extraordinary. They're all signed up on matchingdonors.com, willing to donate their kidney to anyone who needs it. In the U.S., 19 people die each day waiting for an organ transplant, most of them for kidneys. Matchingdonors.com improves those odds by finding living, altruistic donors for patients desperately needing transplants. Go to matchingdonors.com and meet some extraordinary people. That's matchingdonors.com.
Want to stay informed when there are changes to Social Security? Subscribe to receive automatic email updates on popular Social Security webpages with the click of a button. Just visit www.socialsecurity.gov/govdelivery. More than 1 million people already receive updates to the pages they're most interested in. You can too. Look for the red envelope followed by a link that says Get Email Updates. To learn more, visit www.socialsecurity.gov/govdelivery. Social Security delivers.
This is a Driving Today Minute. Even though high gasoline prices have moderated somewhat, they're still quite high. It just makes good sense to do what you can do to reduce your fuel costs. The Alliance to Save Energy suggests a few easy things you can do.
Keep your car properly tuned up and change the air filter regularly, both to save gas and protect your engine. Curtail aggressive driving, according to the U.S. Department of Energy. Speeding, rapid acceleration, and hard braking waste gas and curb mileage by as much as 33% at highway speeds.
So nix the jackrabbit starts and opt instead for slow acceleration from a dead stop. Slow down. The DOE says each mile per hour you drive over 60 is like paying an extra 10 cents per gallon. Inflate tires to the proper pressure. This will increase fuel economy and make tires safer and extend their life.
This Driving Today Minute is brought to you by Bridgestone Firestone Tires. You can get more information like this at drivingtoday.com or by visiting our partners such as autobytel.com, motorsportsforum.com, and more.
You're listening to A Touch of Gray.
Check out our website at atouchofgray.com. We spell gray with an E. That's atouchofgray.com. We spell gray with an E.
Hi, I'm Sigourney Weaver. If you're like me, your dog or cat is part of the family, and they rely on you to take care of them. Like a family doctor, your veterinarian and staff know what's best for that special family member. So visit your vet regularly for checkups, for prevention of disease like heartworm, and for the best advice on everyday issues like flea and tick control. Your veterinarian knows best, so take the time to ask questions. For healthy pets, visit the vet.
A message from the American Animal Hospital Association.
You're age 65 and you've made your decision to keep working and delay receiving your benefits. That's fine, but don't forget about Medicare. Most people should apply for Medicare coverage within 4 months of reaching age 65. And there's a fast, convenient, and simple way to apply for Medicare in as little as 10 minutes. Online at www.socialsecurity.gov/Medicare only. That's socialsecurity.gov/Medicare only.
Engine.
Check.
Thrusters.
Check.
Fuel.
Check.
Computers.
Check.
Social Security.
No check, go direct.
That's right, Patty. A few weeks ago, I went online to godirect.org to sign up for direct deposit. It's easy to do, and I got my cash at warp speed.
Wow, it's fast and easy. I'll sign up right now to make sure I'm prepared for our next mission.
Carol Marks is one of America's leading experts on upper demographic issues and a champion in the battle against ageism in our society. Her fabulous new book, Modern Aging, A Guide for Seasoned Citizens to Achieve Health, Happiness, and Purpose, published by Talkers Books, is a major breakthrough in providing a maturing population with vital information and inspiration to live better and more productive lives. Carol Marks offers practical strategies for juggling work, romance, and navigating the healthcare system. She is a guide through the maze of grandparenting, technology, travel, and retirement, as well as facing the sandwich generation struggle of supporting adult children and elderly parents. Modern Aging by Carol Marks is available now at www.talkersbooks.com. That's www.talkersbooks.com.
If you plan to apply for Social Security disability benefits, there are things you can do to help speed up the usual 3 to 5 month wait for a decision. The more information you provide up front, the less time it'll take us to obtain the needed evidence, and the faster the decision can be made. Information like medical records or documentation, the names, addresses, and phone numbers of your doctors and medical facilities, information on your past employment, and more. To be prepared, visit www.socialsecurity.gov/disability and select Disability Starter Kits.
Continuing now with A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair, and we come to the point in the program where we're joined by our senior correspondent, Kevin Casey, who, in addition to being a senior correspondent here on this program, is also the vice president and executive editor of the trade magazine Talkers, which is the journal of record in the talk radio industry. And, Kevin, it's certainly good to have you with us. Kind of a sad talk radio story this past week that some of our listeners may be familiar with the name we're going to bring up, and some may not, but certainly an interesting man nonetheless. The talk radio industry mourns the death of one of its great legendary talk masters, a talkmeister, as they say, a wordsmith. The late, great Gene Burns passed away this past week. And, you know, for the sake of those who may not know who Gene Burns is, could you fill our listeners in a bit about what he meant to talk radio?
Absolutely. For our New York listeners, they certainly may recall him. He worked for a brief period on WOR and was syndicated through the WOR radio network. He rose to fame at WRKO in Boston in the late 80s and early 90s, and finished out his career at KGO in San Francisco. But he was really a guy who was there at the ascent of the modern era of talk in the late 80s and early 90s. And he's, in a way, it's funny to say it, Michael, he's sort of a throwback to the era of the thinking man's talk show host. As you said, he was definitely a wordsmith, chose his words very carefully, was very eloquent, very smart man, and nonpartisan, and I think that was often the case back then.
Mm-hmm. He was conservative. He was libertarian. Mm-hmm. He embodied a lot of the philosophies that the modern era of talk radio were built on, and that is standing up for the little guy, the populist, the everyday person against big government, big business, big media, mm-hmm. big religion, big everything.
Yeah.
It somehow, and not that it's bad, things change. You know, I'm certainly not saying this as a criticism. I'm just saying it as a chronicler that today it's news talk radio and political talk radio is more defined by party politics and left versus right paradigm than necessarily us against them, them being big organizations, us meaning little guys, you know, who don't have the power of the pack.
That's true, and that's a very succinct way of summing up the differences.
And, Gene sort of stood for that. He was a constitutionalist and a defender of free speech. And I have to say, you know, both of us involved with Talkers Magazine and the publication's obsession with the First Amendment as its primary political motive, Gene Burns was the inspiration for that. He really was a champion of the First Amendment as it applies and as it is practiced here in this medium of talk radio. I gather people can find out more about Gene. There's a story posted on talkers.com for the past week. He died Memorial Day weekend, and it's something that, for those who are fans of the medium, I want to pass along. Talkers.com, Kevin Casey, thank you for joining us. Ladies and gentlemen, A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, continues in a moment.
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
They're not movie tough guys, just ordinary people doing something extraordinary. They're all signed up on matchingdonors.com, willing to donate their kidney to anyone who needs it. In the U.S., 19 people die each day waiting for an organ transplant, most of them for kidneys. Matchingdonors.com improves those odds by finding living, altruistic donors for patients desperately needing transplants. Go to matchingdonors.com and meet some extraordinary people. That's matchingdonors.com.
Want to stay informed when there are changes to Social Security? Subscribe to receive automatic email updates on popular Social Security web pages with the click of a button. Just visit www.socialsecurity.gov/govdelivery. More than 1 million people already receive updates to the pages they're most interested in. You can too. Look for the red envelope followed by a link that says Get Email Updates. To learn more, visit www.socialsecurity.gov/govdelivery. Social Security delivers.
Hi, this is Morgan Freeman. Has anyone ever said, you are the picture of health? You look healthy, you feel fine, but that may not be the full picture. Colorectal cancer is the second leading cancer killer of men and women over 50. Since it doesn't always cause symptoms, you may not know you have it. The only way to know is by getting screened. Screening can find precancerous polyps, so they can be removed before they turn into cancer. This is one cancer you can prevent. Plus, screening can find colorectal cancer at an early stage when the chance for a full recovery is very high. Talk with your doctor and get tested for colorectal cancer. Medicare and many insurance plans help pay for screening. Get screened. Make sure you are the picture of health.
A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
Hi, I'm Sigourney Weaver. If you're like me, your dog or cat is part of the family, and they rely on you to take care of them. Like a family doctor, your veterinarian and staff know what's best for that special family member. So visit your vet regularly for checkups, for prevention of disease like heartworm, and for the best advice on everyday issues like flea and tick control. Your veterinarian knows best, so take the time to ask questions. For healthy pets, visit the vet.
A message from the American Animal Hospital Association.
You're age 65 and you've made your decision to keep working and delay receiving your benefits. That's fine, but don't forget about Medicare. Most people should apply for Medicare coverage within 4 months of reaching age 65. And there's a fast, convenient, and simple way to apply for Medicare in as little as 10 minutes. Online at www.socialsecurity.gov/Medicare only. That's socialsecurity.gov/Medicare only.
Continuing now with A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups. I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor seat. We're on the line with Bart Astor. He's a best-selling author who has really written a lot of very, very interesting and informative articles to help people get through life, from picking a college to his new book, which is published by AARP, that I think just fits this program to a T. The book is Roadmap for the Rest of Your Life: Smart Choices About Money, Health, Work, Lifestyle, and Pursuing Your Dreams. Well, Bart, welcome to A Touch of Gray, and that's quite a tall order, isn't it?
Oh, that certainly is. Thank you. I love them. It's a pleasure being here.
It's a pleasure having you. How is planning the future for people 50-plus today different than it has been traditionally during all these years we've grown up to being over 50?
Well, as you said, life after 50 is certainly different than it ever was before. But one thing I've noticed is that as we, you know, when we're kids growing up, we always have a goal. You know, we have the question is, what are you going to be when you grow up? Or what are you going to major in? Or what's going to be your first job? And you have a goal. You might say, I want to start a family. I want a job. I want a better job. And certainly, and suddenly you get to be in your 50s and you say, I'm not sure that I have goals anymore. You know, my career is kind of winding down, and I'm thinking ahead, and I don't know what the next 20, 30, 40 years of my life are going to be like. And I think it's important to start thinking about that now.
You know what I find amazing, being in that category, and I assume you have your own experiences, is that when you're a kid and when you're growing up, you think that eventually you reach this point where things become static. And I find going into every decade and every stage of my life as fascinating and as scary and as a new experience as becoming a teenager was.
Well, hopefully not being a teenager. There's nothing nothing more frightening than being a teenager.
No, that's true.
But that said, you're right. I mean, every 10 years or so, you know, in addition to maybe gaining the extra 5 pounds, we start, it's a great opportunity to be looking at ourselves and saying, okay, where am I heading? And as I said, you know, we may not have goals anymore, and it's a very good opportunity now to be thinking and planning ahead.
Do you think having goals is an important part staying healthy, that purpose in life is part of staying young and staying vital?
Yeah, but, the concept of goals, it's a scary word. It's like, oh, my goodness, it's this huge thing. I have to conquer the world. I have to leave this great, great legacy. That may be your goal. But most of the time, it's much more realistic. It's much more about what can I do. I know who I am. At this point in life, I pretty much know who I am. I know what my lifestyle is. I know what my life choices are. And to have these grandiose ideas about what's going to happen, that's not that healthy for you. It's okay to be dreaming, but the chances are I'm not going to win the lottery. The chances are I'm not ever going to be playing shortstop. But I would love to think, sure, there's a chance, but not likely. There are not a lot of surprises in there. More likely, I'm going to be looking at my parents getting older and realizing, you know what, I'm probably going to have to help care for one of them or both of them. My kids are growing up. They're eventually going to leave the nest. Well, we hope eventually. But they will leave the nest, and I'll be experiencing this empty nest. My career is not going to be the be-all and end-all. So I have to start thinking about, well, what's life going to be like when I'm no longer on the upswing? And I don't think there are that many surprises. We can look at that.
I think a lot of people have goals to eliminate goals, where they want to, their goal is to take the pressure off a little bit. And that, in fact, is a goal, isn't it?
It might be. I don't look at goals again. I think that the people who are saying, well, I've been pushed to a certain direction, but right. That might not have been my goal. You know, at this 50-plus time, we get to make the choices. It's no longer our parents saying, well, you should do this and you should do that. It's now up to us. If you have a should in your life, it's because you choose to have a should in your life. And therefore, I should be doing this, I should be doing that. Well, that's your choice. That's great. And if that prods you into achieving something that you want, that's great. But if it's a negative, you can stop at any time.
Bart, one of the major, major considerations when you talk about planning for the future after 50, obviously, is the financial aspect. That becomes a little bit more specific than general thinking. And, of course, no one knows how long they're going to live, and that's the missing component in making financial plans. You know, people are afraid to, you know, talk about a strange irony. They're afraid to outlive their money.
Yes, it is. That is a scary part. I have to assume that I'm going to live a long life.
Mm-hmm.
My father lived to be 96. I have to assume, and I'm going to plan for the eventual that I will live that long. Obviously, if the bus comes along and hits me sooner, well, you know, that's too bad.
Right.
But I have to assume I'm going to live a long time. So I want to look ahead. I want to plan. And there's no way around it. Crunching numbers is really the only way. So you crunch the numbers and you say, okay, I know what my income is going to be. I know what my expenses are because this is the lifestyle I've chosen. And I say, okay, I have a dollar coming in and I have a $1.50 going out. There's a problem there. How long am I going to be able to sustain that extra 50 cents going out? Well, so you crunch the numbers and you realize, well, I have to have a certain amount in assets that will certainly bring that kind of income to bring it back up to the $1.50. If not, then I have to make some choices about my lifestyle. And that's where I think that becomes the art. That's where you say, you know, this is what's important to me, certain lifestyle decisions. So it's really important to me to be near a city, to take advantage of the opportunities that a city offers. To somebody else, that may not be that important. So I have to build into the quality of lifestyle that I choose those kinds of things that are important to me. And I may then sacrifice other areas so that I can make that extra 50 cents. I can lower my $1.50 to maybe a dollar and a quarter, and maybe that'll make it work.
Very interesting indeed. I do know that in your list of five golden rules, and we've talked about them all in this conversation, the one at the end, the number five rule is don't judge yourself.
Yeah.
Are we too hard on ourselves when we come to this point in life?
Sure, and where that came from doesn't really matter, but all of a sudden we're starting to say, well, this is good, this is bad. This friend of mine, we were talking about, he wants to die at his desk. Well, I hope not. And I know what he means. Of course, he doesn't. He said, "I don't have any hobbies. I don't have anything I like to do. So I love to work, and I love the work that I do. I don't want to be sitting around watching TV, eating bonbons. That's a bad thing." And I said, "Well, it's not a bad thing. It's just if that's what you choose to do, it'll be okay. Number one, it's not a bad or good. Number two, you're not stuck doing that for the rest of your life. It's what you chose to do right then. Ironically, here's a person who absolutely loves watching baseball on TV. So he does actually like to do that, and that might be his hobby. But again, he's not stuck doing that forever and forever. There are all kinds of great opportunities that he will probably take advantage of beyond just sitting at his desk working."
Mm-hmm. And, you know, today, even young people today don't go into careers the way we did when we were kids going in. You know, you become something for 20 years, 30 years, and you get the proverbial gold watch. We're at a time now where people have many careers anyway. So why shouldn't that continue into that period of time that we used to refer to as retirement, a word that I think is becoming obsolete?
Yeah, I don't know if it's obsolete, but it certainly has changed. Mm-hmm. Retirement, to me, is going to be very different. I'm not going to sit around, as you said, on a pension. First of all, there are no pension plans anymore.
Right.
So we have to take a little more responsibility for ourselves because it's not that we're given the gold watch and the pension. We now have to be planning ahead with our 401ks and you know, Social Security and planning ahead. But I might start an encore career. I might volunteer someplace. Some good friends of ours have started volunteering, and it became a paid position. Now, they don't make a lot of money, but it's enough that it covers the expenses.
And it covers the need we all have to have purpose and interact with the rest of humanity.
And be challenged.
Absolutely. Fascinating. Well, Bart Astor, I appreciate you joining us. For those listening and interested in finding the book, it's called Roadmap for the Rest of Your Life, Smart Choices About Money, Health, Work, Lifestyle, and Pursuing Your Dreams, published by AARP. Bart Astor is the author, and he has been so generous with his time as to share some of these thoughts with us. Bart, thank you for joining us on A Touch of Gray.
My pleasure. Thank you.
You're plugged into A Touch of Gray, which continues right here in just a moment with our senior correspondent Steve Wiseman talking about the Veterans Aid and Attendance Benefits Program.
You're age 65 and you've made your decision to keep working and delay receiving your benefits. That's fine, but don't forget about Medicare. Most people should apply for Medicare coverage within 4 months of reaching age 65. And there's a fast, convenient, and simple way to apply for Medicare in as little as 10 minutes. Online at www.socialsecurity.gov/Medicare-only. That's socialsecurity.gov/Medicare-only.
Carol Marks is one of America's leading experts on upper demographic issues and a champion in the battle against ageism in our society. Her fabulous new book, Modern Aging, A Guide for Seasoned Citizens to Achieve Health, Happiness, and Purpose, published by Talkers Books, is a major breakthrough in providing a maturing population with vital information and inspiration to live better and more productive lives. Carol Marks offers practical strategies for juggling work, romance, and navigating the healthcare system. She is a guide through the maze of grandparenting, technology, travel, and retirement, as well as facing the sandwich generation struggle of supporting adult children and elderly parents. Modern Aging by Carol Marks is available now at www.talkersbooks.com. That's www.talkersbooks.com.
She's conquered some of the most challenging ski courses anywhere, but with only one leg, the odds were against her even walking.
The growth was stunted in my right leg when I was born, and the doctors told my mother we needed to amputate when I was 5 years old.
Bonnie was helped at a Shriners Hospital, one of a network of 22 hospitals helping kids throughout North America. Shriners Hospitals provide world-class orthopedic and burn medical care, and they offer that care totally free of charge.
The care and treatment the Shriners gave me was a gift. It wasn't just about learning to walk. They helped me to believe in myself.
There's a Shriners Hospital helping kids from this area realize their dreams.
If I went back to the Shriners Hospital and talked to the nurses and doctors, I would say thank you. Thank you for making my dreams come true.
If you know a child they could help, call 1-800-237-5055. Shriners, giving help and hope to kids for over 80 years.
Engines.
Check.
Thrusters.
Check.
Fuel.
Check.
Computers.
Check.
Social Security.
No check, go direct.
That's right, Patty. A few weeks ago, I went online to GoDirect.org to sign up for direct deposit. It's easy to do, and I got my cash at warp speed.
Wow, it's fast and easy. I'll sign up right now to make sure I'm prepared for our next mission.
Continuing now with A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups. I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair. We come to the final segment of this hour of our broadcast, and we're joined, as is customary, by our senior correspondent, Steve Wiseman, Stephen J.J. Wiseman, Esquire. He's an attorney. He's a prolific writer. He's an expert on so many of the things we talk about in this program, and he's here now to talk about the Veterans Aid and Attendance Benefits Program. Steve?
Thank you, Michael. You know, these days it's always hard for people to find the money to get by on. I mean, we all have that from time to time. And veterans certainly are no exception. And there is a program that is provided for by the Veterans Administration called Aid and Attendance Benefits. And it's interesting that the VA does not make it more publicly known how these benefits can help. And these are benefits that will be available to low-income, low-asset veterans who have participated in wartime service, although the wartime service does not have to be extensive. And the pensions can be up to more than $2,000 a month for a married veteran, higher actually if both spouses are veterans, about $1,700 a month to a single veteran, and about $1,100 a month to surviving spouses of veterans. Now, to be eligible, the veteran must have served at least 90 days of active duty and at least one day during a declared wartime period. There are some requirements, though, however, in regard to total assets. It's around $80,000, not including a home, and there are some other exceptions within that, and there are some income guidelines as well. But this is something that for many, many veterans, it is something that they should be looking into. Now, interestingly enough, the applications for this are really backlogged. As a matter of fact, the VA now has a backlog of disability claims of more than 600,000. And one of the things that the federal government is saying is that it deals with a lot of aid and attendance benefits that are being filed, but they're being done with really unscrupulous and scamming people advising veterans. Now, one of the problems with this is, in order to really aid a veteran in this kind of an application, you do have to be certified by the VA. But there are some techniques that can be used to help you become eligible for this. And unlike Medicaid, there is no five-year look-back period if you were to set up a trust or have other kinds of perfectly legal ways of arranging your assets to be able to qualify. So the bottom line is, if you are a veteran and you are someone who could use the aid and attendance benefits, you should look into it. But make sure you deal with a properly regulated elder law attorney and someone who does have knowledge in this area. You do this and you're going to really help yourself out.
Thank you, Steve. Steve Wiseman talking about the Veterans Aid and Attendance Benefits Program. And Steve, of course, is the webmaster of Scamicide.com. Check that out. Well, that about does it for the show. Beverly Santinello, thank you for your excellent work as our producer. Carol Marks, the host and founder of the program, we certainly do appreciate you, your wisdom and insight. And we thank Kevin Casey, Steve Wiseman, the entire Touch of Grey broadcast team. I'm Michael Harrison, inviting you to join us next weekend right here for another installment of A Touch of Grey, the talk show for grown-ups.